Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And as he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the Sunday that happens before Lent begins. And the pyramids are white. I'm going to give you the same lesson I give Issa when she puts on my stole every week. Today is a holy day. They're all holy days, but today is the day where we talk about that purity, that whiteness, that holiness of Christ. And so we change the pyramids to white. And from the Gospel of Mark, we hear a story about boundary zones between the human and the divine. A boundary that may be, for some of us, just a little bit disorienting and at the same time revelatory. It is the kind of story that, if you ponder it long enough, can set you adrift in thought and possibly in doubt. Because it's about the revealing of the divine. Each time I tackle this story, which is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's the story of Jesus becoming the Messiah before the eyes of the disciple. I start wondering what our conversation about this should be. And I always kind of pause and wonder, what would you want to discuss with me? Because whether you know it or not, this is a conversation that we have. I get to talk. It's true. But it is a conversation between all of us in about this transfiguration on a mountaintop. I asked myself this week, what is the story about? And the bottom line I decided was that it's about the identity of Jesus. The Transfiguration is a story that asks us, who is Jesus? But like every story, this one and every one that we ever hear, the other question is, who are we in the story? It's always something important to hold on to. And then the question that also comes around as we begin this Lenten journey together that we can ask over and over again during our Lenten journey is, who does Jesus say he is? Because that's a question that is central to our sacred journey with Christ. This story is about revelation. Revelation is our word for today. Christ on the mountaintop is a story of revelation. It's also in Mark a story of secrecy and hidden mystery. And as I said, it's a story that can sometimes be disoriented because it has that human element of confusion and fear in it. The disciples, especially Peter, since he is really the only one who speaks, are disoriented and afraid. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. So for Peter, James, and John, this mountaintop experience did not feel like a safe place. Fear and terror were everywhere, so much that Peter is offering to build tents to dwell in. And I was thinking, well, maybe tents to hide in, until that image of Elijah and Moses and Jesus talking fades away like a bad dream. In Matthew's version of the story, it says that Jesus touched the disciples because they were overcome with fear. And in Luke's version, it says that the disciples were frightened when they entered the cloud. Revelation for the disciples in this story is frightening. The mountaintop on which they were given insight to who Christ might be didn't feel like a safe place. But that begs another question, and as you know, I really like questions a lot. Is when we're having this conversation, should I try to just explain away this image of Jesus and take the transfiguration and make it a really safe event? Something we just sort of ponder. Charlie says, no, I shouldn't do that. Right, Charlie? I should make it exactly what it is. But if any one of us decides to enter that cloud with Peter, James, and John, the hidden identity of Jesus just may be revealed to us. And I can tell you from my experience as a Christianist that that might not be safe. If we enter the cloud and wonder along with all the other disciples about who Jesus is, we enter into a conversation about something that we are not always comfortable with. We enter into a conversation about the crucifixion and about the resurrection. Those two words lie at the heart of our faith, and yet they are not words that come up in conversation at the dinner table. They are not things that we say out loud very often anymore. And when we do talk about them, they're sort of in hushed tones for fear that we might say something wrong or reveal something about ourselves or just plain simply say, I don't know what that means. And if we enter the cloud, we have to grapple with a bunch of things. We have to grapple with that nonviolent love of God. We have to grapple with the power of evil in the world. If we walk into the cloud, we have to determine for ourselves about the uniqueness of Christ. And isn't it easier just to kind of have a great big broad view of everything? It is for me. I suspect it is for you. So we can't answer all these questions today. In fact, I'm not sure we can answer any of them. But we have to determine for each of us, for ourselves, if it's a safe journey toward the revelation of God that Jesus is offering us. Is it safe? Because to journey towards God through Jesus Christ is not an option in the life of faith of a Christian. It simply isn't. We may all think different things and we may all end up in different places, but the journey itself, the process of moving towards God through that revelation of Jesus Christ is absolutely paramount to who we are as the body of Christ. Each of us can traverse this Christian life, and sometimes we do it stepping gingerly, intentionally, sort of sidestepping certain issues, doing things in measured ways to keep it safe, keeping our distance, keeping ourselves safe from all those deeper questions, because the language of faith is difficult. And we see it splattered all over the TV all the time. What does it mean? Well, most of the time it doesn't mean what I think it means. But I can hear it, and so I have to stop and say, just because I don't agree with that definition of it doesn't mean that I don't have to still grapple with that word. And that we encounter revelations of God every day, but we might be turning a sort of blind, intentional eye because it doesn't feel safe. Mark's transfiguration has this hidden quality about it. Don't tell anybody until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Mark tells Jesus's Mark tells everybody all through the Gospel of Mark not to tell anybody anything. It's the hidden secret Messiah, Mark is. And I love that because you kind of wonder how it all got out. And it's basically because none of us are very good at keeping secrets. I'd like to think there's something more religious about it, but it's probably just you come off a mountain and you got to tell somebody you saw something crazy, right? But the divinity of Christ is the issue, but it didn't become public until much later because this was hidden. It was mystery. But today we see Christians everywhere who make public claims for Jesus' divinity as if it were public truth that anybody might see and grasp. All they have to do is say some words, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." Ba-boom. It's all clear as a bell. I've tried it, brothers and sisters. It hasn't worked for me. But who Jesus is and how God is revealed to you through him is not only something that's important, it is a gift that each of us have received. We cannot not accept it. It is just simply there. It is, though, a small slice, a piece of a vision, not a personal accomplishment or a claim of superior spiritual status. I know Jesus, here I am. Or as Lance's favorite bumper sticker says, "Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite." Because when you start being really, really, really sure about Jesus, that's idolatry. That is idolatry. And we go down a path where we think we know the absolute truth about this complicated issue of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we start to claim absolute truths. And the thing is that, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus' mission was never to make a big deal about himself. Never. Or to give his followers some sort of special place of power or authority. Never. The least of these is what he called all of us. And when you do for the least of these, and when you invite the least of these, and the last shall be first, he never said, "Follow me, it's special. You're special today." Never. He said, "This is hard. You're going to move to the bottom of the list." Transfiguration, go figure. Jesus always was pointing beyond himself to God and to God's reign on earth. He called it the kingdom of God. And then he invited his followers to find their voice about what they had heard and to bear witness to the transforming power, the redemptive power of God. Of God. But we live in a world of religious suspicion. I have to admit, I'm part of that group. Interesting job to have, isn't it? And we live in a neighborhood where the unchurched and the dechurched wonder if it's safe to have this revelation. Where we wonder if it's safe, if we can even tell them that we have had God revealed to us through Christ. Is it safe? There are so many questions of safety here. Is it safe to follow Jesus up that mountain? Is it safe to ask the question, who does Jesus say he is? Is it safe to walk in the cloud if we know that we'll be changed? Is it safe to witness to that nonviolent justice and truth that Jesus revealed to us? Is it safe to say out loud or even in our hearts, what does the crucifixion and resurrection have to do with my life? The questions are endless. And I don't know about you, but did some of you grow up where you didn't get to ask the questions? Where if you even thought them in your heart, you thought there was something wrong with you. How could I possibly have doubts? All I have to do is believe. All I have to do is believe. I didn't pay any attention to that. I asked 50 bazillion questions, but I got in a lot of trouble for it. You can well imagine. But isn't one of the reasons we're here is to determine the answers to some of these questions and to discern the hidden identity of Jesus so that we might claim him? And more importantly, are we not here so that we can be made in his image? That is my prayer for myself each day of my life, that I might be made in the image of Christ. And what a glorious thing that would be, wouldn't it? To be transfigured into the image of Christ. This is our journey, brothers and sisters, from the cross to the empty tomb. We like all the other days. We like Christmas, babies, and Christmas carols, and we like the middle of the summer when I'm preaching on a movie. But what we're coming up on now is what we are and who we are and what we are about. And that is from the wilderness to the cross to the empty tomb. If you have never entered Lent wholeheartedly, if you have never grappled with walking into the desert, what it means to sacrifice, what it means to follow Christ all the way to that cross, I highly recommend it. I will not tell you it is easy, but it will be the most meaningful thing you will ever do in your spiritual life. It is at the core of who we are, and it represents the life journey of all creation from dust to dust. And as we journey together, we center ourselves and ground ourselves so that we can be aware of what is being revealed to us. Not blocking it out, but feeling safe in our encounters with the crucified and risen Christ. Feeling safe to hear the voice of God and safe sharing what the voice of God has said to us with others. Our thought for meditation in the bulletin today is, we are in the world to see God. The disciples went up that mountaintop and they did not understand what they saw. And the Bible is filled with, I don't understand what I see. I don't understand what I hear. But there's something about that dazzling white cloak that says, take a second look. This journey is personal and profound, but it is done in a faith community. This is the safe place of seekers. This is not a church where you can't ask the questions, not only in your heart, but out loud. We love and honor the questions. We think that the questions are what bring us closer to our God. It's a safe place where we explore together what Jesus is revealing to us. And it is also the way in which our discipleship is being revealed to us, to open our hearts and minds in every day to all the clues that are around us that tell us who we are, how the world works, and whose we are. We can glimpse a new view of reality, brothers and sisters, that'll transform our lives and then refashion the world, refashion the whole world. It is not an impossibility. It is that we are the hands and feet of Christ. We can refashion the world into the place that God dreams for, God's dream for the world. God was present on that mountaintop. God is present with us now, making every single place we reside a place where we can look into the face of Christ, a sacred place, a safe place, always, always and forever. A safe place. Amen.